Hey, it's Dan here. If you haven't heard, the Fun Kids Science Weekly is back and bigger than ever. We hear all about the biggest stories in the world of science.
And so they realize, oh my gosh, I think what we're seeing is a newborn great white.
Find out which science is the best.
Wow, I thought that just sounded like such a cool career that I could get out there, visit different places in those different environments.
Put your questions to the experts.
How does a mobile phone contact another mobile phone without a wire?
Remember to send in your questions on the free Fun Kids app or at funkidslive.com. That's the bigger and better Fun Kids Science Weekly every Saturday from wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB digital radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com.
Hello, this is Activity Quest, the podcast packed with things to do. My name's Dan, thank you for listening. In this episode, Bex is visiting the London Transport Museum in Covent Garden to find out all about the history of the underground. We are flying, driving and running in our guide of what's on across the UK. Sir Captain Tom Moore is here, by the way. Massive booking, huge star. He's here telling us all about his brand new book and he's giving you something that you can do at home. And upcycling is the flavour of the week with Anna Louise on her mini Motley farm. Now, every week on Activity Quest, we get out and about. We find out what's happening near you. Now, Bex is the biggest tube geek that I know. Obsessed with it. You can hardly stop her going on about the tube. She can't get enough of the London Underground, so imagine her excitement when we told her she was going to the London Transport Museum. Imagine it. I mean, in fact, don't waste your time. You don't need to imagine it, because it sounded like this.
For over 100 years, a labyrinth of underground tunnels has been helping to carry people underneath London from place to place. It's called the London Underground, and even if you've never visited, you probably know what it is, or you would recognise it on a really colourful map that's kind of iconic. At the same time as going underground, Londoners were also moving above ground via buses and taxis and trams and just about every form of transport you can possibly imagine. So I'm at the London Transport Museum, which, as the name suggests, is a museum dedicated to ways of getting around London, and I'm lucky enough to be able to have my very own personal tour. This is Matt. He's the head curator here at the museum. He'll be telling me all about how we make our way around the museum.
Yeah, you go up a ramp at the introduction, right up to the top of the building, where we talk about Victorian London from about the 1800s onwards. And we start the journey with a lot of road vehicles, really early buses from as early as 1829, horse tram, horse bus as well that you can see. And it gives you a really lovely feel for the kind of vehicles and the kind of travel that was happening through the 1800s. And also how relatively small London was there compared to today, how congested a lot of the transport problems that we have today. We're also quite familiar to Victorian Londoners, but it really sort of emphasises how people were using different methods to sort of get around some of these problems and solve some of these conundrums about how you get around this massive city as quickly as possible.
You can't have a transport museum without seeing loads of transport. Some of the vehicles are really lovely to look at and you can get really close to them and even hear some recorded conversations of what might have happened aboard the buses and trams.
So as you can maybe hear, I'm in the middle of the London Transport Museum and all around me there are, as you can probably expect, lots and lots of amazing creations. There are trains, trams. It looks pretty amazing. Everything is super shiny. Even the old trains look really shiny and bright as well.
And so you go through walking past one of these very early steam-powered trains and the carriages, seeing the kind of conditions that passengers had at that time. And then you walk around and you can see some slightly more modern trains as well. And then you come down to the ground floor of the museum where you see the very sort of compact, diddly little electric very early deep level tube train from the 1890s, which is much, much smaller, much, much more compact than the 1860s version. And you also see a train carriage called the Padded Cell, which is a wooden train carriage with very, very tiny little windows, very claustrophobic, And this is the kind of train vehicle that people travelled in the 1890s in London, when the deep level tube lines were very first built.
Perhaps one of the most interesting things I discovered was that in the early days, lots of different companies ran different tube lines. The whole thing was quite a mess, actually. Luckily, over the years, it's been put together into one big network.
We talk about, you know, how that comes about through the massive expansion of the system, of the Johnston typeface that we're familiar with today that you see on station signs and across the network, of the roundel symbol that's become so famous, of the station architecture, of the posters, of the branding that was really prevalent in the early 20th century and into the 1930s.
I honestly learned so much, because there's also a temporary exhibition on at the moment called Hidden London, which is all about things you might not know. So there's a load of old tube stations that are closed, some used to hide the Prime Minister during the war.
Through to stations that are actually used to make, you know, Hollywood blockbusters, you know, stations like Aldwych, which are no longer functioning stations on the network, but are used very commonly for Hollywood films and productions as a kind of authentic backdrop to what London looked and felt like in the early 20th century.
One of my favourite things about the London Transport Museum is seeing all of the old tube carriages, partly because it's pretty cool to see how people used to sit together. They weren't always seated as they are now. I also love seeing all of the old fabrics that were used on the chairs and the old adverts as well. Not only are the advertisements really cool and weird to look at, often they're always advertising some things I've never even heard of. All right, there we go. I had an amazing time at the London Transport Museum. Big fan of Matt as well, who basically gave me my very own guided tour. I mean, I'm not going to lie, that was pretty awesome. If you want to go find out more about it, head online to funkidslive.com or check out the London Transport Museum website. I recommend it as an amazing day out. Lots of stuff to see, lots of stuff to do, and lots of fun to be had. It gets 5 bexes out of 5.
Now, ltmuseum.co.uk is the place to find out more and book your tickets. And if you liked that, Bex visited the London Transport Museum's depot in Acton back in August. To listen to more of that, just scroll back in your podcast app. It's called London Transport Museum. Pick your own and chill in on the farm. And remember, whatever activities you're doing to keep busy, we want to hear about it. One of the ways you can do that is by leaving us a 5-star review. You can also get in touch over at funkidslive.com/activityquest. Go there and then send us your thoughts as a video or an audio clip off your phone. You can upload photos there as well, and then we might use them in future episodes. Right, now it's time to find out what's on elsewhere.
Like a lot of people, you might have missed out on your family holiday this year. Well, you can dream of jet setting to Jamaica or flying to France again thanks to Eden. That's a flight training centre. Yeah, that's right, I'm suggesting you fly yourselves on your next holiday. The junior experiences are designed for people 6 to 13. A 30-minute flight is £25, 60 minutes is £45. It's at Durham Tees Valley Airport in Darlington. EdenFlightTraining.co.uk is the place to book, but if flying isn't your thing, then how about some driving? Young Driver has the Firefly experience for people aged 5 to 10. You'll get to drive a special car that can go up to 10 miles an hour. A grown-up or a friend can also sit with you. 20 minutes is £22, and there are venues all over the UK. YoungDriver.eu for that one. And for the first time ever, Race for Kids is going virtual. It's to support Great Ormond Street Hospital's children's charity. Choose a distance to walk, run, wheel, skip or scoot and head across that virtual finish line to help raise some money for some seriously ill kids. Children under 18 have to be registered with a grown-up as part of a team. It's on the 17th to the 18th of October. And gosh.org, that's G-O-S-H, Great Ormond Street Hospital.org, is the place to find out more.
Remember, the rules on what we can and what we can't do, they're changing every week at the moment. And they also vary depending on where you are in the UK. So before you do anything, check before you travel. Book in advance where you can, and always follow the local guidance too. Now, remember almost 6 months ago, at the age of 99, Captain Tom Moore began to walk laps of his garden. Do you remember this? With the goal of raising just £1,000 by his 100th birthday. And then he beat that, didn't he?
Do you remember how much he beat you by? Well, he raised almost £33 million for the NHS. Now, since then, he's been the star of 2020. He's had a number one single. He's been knighted by the Queen as captain to Tom Moore. And now Bex, fresh from the London Transport Museum, she's back. She's catching up with him about his brand new book called 100 Steps. You can hear him with Benji and Georgia, his grandkids.
Really excited about this new book. I have read it and it's just beautiful. It's so lovely. How did it come about?
Well, I think part of the book is building a legacy for Tom. We moved on, we raised the £40 million for the NHS and this is our next steps. We felt we had a responsibility to share our story a little bit with the public who really carried us on this journey. Tom, his children's book is wonderful. We wrote it really as a family. It's a family book looking at the history of Tom, and I really hope the young population like it.
Now, as a family, did you all get together and have a look at it when it came in? Because the books and the illustrations are beautiful, right? You must have been really proud.
Yes, we are. And we came about because we wanted to inspire children and hope in the world. So inspire children to do, you can do and be anything you want to be.
It's such a great message. Can I ask what your favourite kind of message in the book is? Because it's lovely stuff like, you know, taking your first step is difficult, but you can, you know, you see it through to the end. Every day is an adventure. What's each of your favourite message from the book?
I think mine would have to be, I think it says, one step can inspire hundreds more. And I think that really shows the story we've had. Not only was it Tom's money that was raised for the NHS, it was all the other people that were inspired by him to raise their own money and support their necessary causes. I think that was one of the best things.
And can I ask, how does Captain Tom feel about the book? How does he feel when he has the book in his hands, or how did he feel when he saw it to begin with?
The book, I think, I really am very proud of that book because it really tells a true story. In it, it shows that I have always had an interest in motorcycles, and that motorcycle in the book, maybe it looks an old-fashioned one, but it is a copy of one of the first motorcycles I had. It's called the Scott motorcycle, and it was made by Alfred Scott at Shipley near Bradford, and it was a lovely machine. It was quite old, but it served me well, and it shows throughout the book that it was a very good machine and very good for me.
It's funny you say that. My granddad was also in the war and went across and did a lot of motorbike fixing and stuff like that as well. So seeing your story was quite lovely for me because it reminded me of my own family. Is it kind of exciting and humbling to be an inspirational figure for so many people now?
Yeah, well, I think that I've been brought into something which I never set out to do, but really, maybe I'm a central figure in this, but it wasn't through any real choice or intention. But the very fact that I think it has done so good, I'm very delighted that I'm part of it, and it's still going on. We're still getting benefit and benefit and benefit for all sorts of people. I still get word from the doctors and nurses and say, thank you very much, we're already getting some benefit from the money that you made, and we are feeling certainly that it was well worthwhile on your part because we are getting the benefit. And really, if we can get a little bit more benefit via this children's book, which I think is a really nice book, and I'm sure people are going to enjoy it, and I hope so, because I read it and I enjoyed it.
Surely you're the most important person as well. You've got to enjoy it the most. Yeah, you do seem to have a lovely team around you. And of course, there's a lovely picture in the book of the whole family, which must have been nice for you guys to see as well. Benji, Georgia, did you kind of like, was it quite exciting to see your picture in the book too?
I think absolutely. When we were writing the book and looking at the illustrations, it's amazing to see our family as a whole. We really locked horns together to raise this money and start on this journey. Like my granddad said, we never intended this to happen. We were just going to raise £1,000, but it kicked off and we locked horns as a family and we really pushed on. It shows how united we are.
Yeah, Georgia, how about you?
I was quite excited because when I was small, our dogs were surrounded Charlie, Harry, and another one called Hooch.
Now, the last thing is, before I leave you guys, I wondered what recommendations you would all give to our listeners for stuff they can do at home if they are kind of stuck at the moment at home. Would you recommend walking around, Sir Tom? What would you say our listeners should be doing?
I've always been interested in cooking, and I'm pretty much at home because with my leg I can't go very far. So I still do enjoy some cooking, but I'm overshadowed because Georgia and Benji are first-class cooks, and so I don't need to do anything. Maybe I'd like to, but I've been pushed out.
You've got the life of Riley. All right, Benji and Georgia, tell me, what would you cook then if you could recommend a little recipe?
I think I would make brownies or Victoria sponges.
Nice. Benji, yourself?
We do like our cookies and biscuits, I have to be fair. We've got our recipes, chocolate chip cookies, some lemon biscuits. That's what we like here.
A family with a sweet tooth. I appreciate this. I can get behind it.
Certainly.
100 Steps, the story of Captain Sir Tom Moore, is out right now. Okay, it's time to go down to the farm, as always, with Anna Louise. She has loads of rescue, rare breed and homebred animals on Mini Motley Farm. There's everything from miniature horses to miniature sheep, miniature chickens, hatching chicks, so much there. This week, we're upcycling and recycling with Anna Louise and finding out how to make a nest box so her chickens have somewhere comfortable to lay their eggs.
I found myself a bright blue basket, except it's not really a basket. It used to be a pet carry case, except the lock broke, the catch snapped off, and it was no longer safe to use as a pet carrying case anymore. So it's just been sat around the garden, getting a bit grubby, with no job and no purpose. And I was looking at it the other day and I thought, I know what I can use that for. It does look like it could do with a bit of a scrub up, a bit of a spruce up, because it's got a bit of algae growing on it. But it'll be perfect for the new nest box of our young chickens. I'm just going to give it a good wash. The best thing is, when things like this go wrong, this pet carry case, we never throw anything like this out, because we can always find another job for it. Especially, we're really keen on the farm of upcycling things, recycling, using old stuff to make new stuff. That is one of the things we try and always do. Nothing goes to waste. We don't want to throw things out. We don't want it to sit in the dump or the tip. We don't want it to hurt the planet. Okay, I've given it a bit of a shower, and I've had a bit of a shower as well. I'm soaking wet now. Is that a bit of a wash? A bit of a scrub? Straight in my eyes, lovely. Next up, to make this into a nest box, I need some luxury bedding. Oh yes. So, I've come into our big shed. What I'm after is the bale of shavings, because this is super soft and perfect to pop at the bottom of this new nest box that we're creating. The chickens love to nestle down deep into this, and it is the perfect texture for them to build a nest and lay their eggs. So just like we do with our bedding, they like it to be soft and cosy and warm. They like it to feel good. They like to, like we like to jump into our beds and roll it up into our duvets. That's what they like to do with the shavings. So I'm going to pull off a chunk of the bale. Shavings are a bit like wood chips, really. It's just super soft material that has been shaved off of bits of wood. There. Full. Now, the project is almost complete, but not quite. I'm going to add some poultry powder to the mix. So I'm just going to carefully lift up the shavings and dig down to the bottom. And I'm going to apply the poultry powder. And this gives a protection to our new contraption, to our new nest box, from biting insects and lice and mites.
and that'll stop them getting in and getting onto the eggs. It will keep it clean, it will keep it fresh, and most importantly, it will keep the chickens comfortable. And voila! My masterpiece is complete. That is an upcycled, recycled chicken nest box. We've made a brand new creation from something that was old, dirty and falling apart. And now it's brand new. And the chickens are already trying to dive in. This will solve our problem with the young chickens laying their first eggs on the floor and in the dirt. What do you think, girls? I think that's a thank you, we love it, in chicken language. I'm gonna pop it where they usually lay their eggs in the dirt. I can't wait to collect the eggs from here tomorrow morning.
Oh, fresh eggs? Yes, please. Thank you so much, Hannah Louise. And that's all we have time for this week. Whatever you do, let us know what you're up to, how you're keeping busy at funkidslive.com/activityquest, and rate, review and subscribe, please, wherever you're listening to this. I've been Dan. This has been a podcast from the UK's children's radio station, Fun Kids. And you can listen to me on DAB Digital Radio online and on the free Fun Kids app and on your smart speaker every day from 1 o'clock. Just wake it up with the magic words, then ask it to play Fun Kids. And I will see you then. Bye.
So that was a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB Digital Radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com.
Hey, it's Dan here. If you haven't heard, the Fun Kids Science Weekly is back and bigger than ever. We hear all about the biggest stories in the world of science.
And so they realize, oh my gosh, I think what we're seeing is a newborn great white.
Find out which science is the best.
Wow, I thought that just sounded like such a cool career that I could get out there, visit different places in those different environments.
Put your questions to the experts.
How does a mobile phone contact another mobile phone without a wire?
Remember to send in your questions on the free Fun Kids app or at funkidslive.com. That's the bigger and better Fun Kids Science Weekly every Saturday from wherever you get your podcasts.